Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue.
This 1978 moment is brought to you by John Pickens. That's such a great song, though. I mean, it really is. It's great. So the question about the MSBU, which is the tax that you pay for fire service in Escambia County, is becoming an issue. And in fact, you've got a note sent out that residents of the beach by the Pensacola Beach Advocates, Rhonda Dorfman, sent out an email that says, hey, there's going to be a vote on this thing coming up on Thursday, May 1st at 5:30 p.m. And originally, we did not think it was going to be on the agenda. And now it is going to be on the agenda. So the time is going to get shuffled on this thing. But she says, look, I know this is inconvenient, but this is exactly what they are expecting. We need to show up or at least write all of our county commissioners and give them our message. We are fed up with being treated differently. All caps. We want them to lower our MSBU to the mainland rate of $223.15. For our businesses, we want them to charge beach businesses the same rate that main businesses are charged, and that is 11 cents per square foot, not 88 cents per square foot as proposed. The county is proposing beach residents pay $454.95 rather than $226.78 for every other Escambia resident. This is prejudicial, unfair, and downright corrupt, and our commissioner needs us to speak out. If you cannot attend, please write the other county commissioners and tell them you are tired of being treated unfairly and demand MSBU rate be reduced for beach residents. All right, so if you haven't been tracking this conversation, in Escambia County, we pay an MSBU, and that is a Municipal Services Benefit Unit. It is a flat fee if you're a resident per house. They want to raise it. It's $100.25 now. I think that's correct. It's $100.25 a year now. Could be $150. I apologize if I got that wrong. Somebody's going to text me, 437-1620. But they want to raise it to $223 because we're not covering costs. They also want to raise the per square foot for businesses from, as she said, 11 cents to 88 cents per square foot. So you're talking about businesses having a dramatically increased price tag for their fire service protection. And the argument on the beach goes like this. Why do we have to pay more than anybody else? Which is a fair question. It is a fair question, especially since the beach already, subsidizes a lot of the things that everybody else benefits from. We talked about this the other day when it comes to beach renourishment and so forth. They obviously pay a high amount of, now I'm going to say it wrong, lease fee and or tax. One or the other, maybe both in some cases. Anyway, they pay a lot. They live in nice houses, yeah, but they also pay a lot. So the question that Rhonda is asking is it fair for us to have to pay more than anybody else? And generally speaking, the answer should be no. But there is a geographical distinction being on the island. And the questions I would have would be things like, how many fires are on the island versus how many fires in the mainland? The way you would justify a price increase would be to point to factors that make it cost more to provide fire protection service somewhere. And I really don't know whether it's more expensive to provide that on the island rather than on the mainland. If it were more expensive, then I would be open to the conversation. Well, how much more expensive and how much should they pay? And if it's the same or less expensive, then you definitely shouldn't be charging more for it, right? Unless you're going to go to an ad valorem, which is based on the property value, which is how we do a lot of other things. It's just not how we do fire protection service to begin with. And I think we shouldn't. I don't think it should be based on the value of the home. I think that it's unfair to charge it based on the value because typically the more expensive homes don't get fires and the poor homes do have fires and the bigger the home doesn't make it more of a fire risk. It just doesn't work that way. So she's asking for people to show up. Now, the context here, and I wanted to flashback a little bit. I didn't cover this when it happened, but when the conversation about the MSBU came up in the county commission meeting, you had a lot of conversation and some drama. And I want to acknowledge Stephen Barry admitting that they were wrong to put in a flat fee 10 years ago and not raising it since. And he said that was a mistake they made.
Each of the commissioners has mentioned about, the annual increases. I mean, we're You know, we have operational and labor increases, and we have an MSBU that's static because it's not tied to anything else. And that's, if you look at how we've ended up here, I think that's probably the single biggest factor, is that it wasn't tied to an MSTU, it was an MSBU. But regardless, is where we are. You know, as was mentioned, we haven't raised the MSBU on the mainland in 10 years. Never raised the MSBU on the island in over 20 years.
And that's a mistake, because as inflation has caught up with them, they didn't want to put in a property tax increase, which is what this is. It's definitely a property tax increase. It's not an ad valorem property tax increase, but it is definitely a property tax increase. And, you know, they're having to pay money out of general revenue in order to provide for fire service.
And I understand the point of, you know, your...
Oh, actually, you know what? Let me hang on, because let me get you for traffic, and then we'll come back to this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report right now. Davis Highway going southbound toward Olive Road, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay there. Also, Highway 29 southbound headed to Burgess. You see about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated there. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Right, thanks so much, John. Oh, I got two notes in here. 437-1620. One note is that on the island you have high rises. High rises take ladders. Ladders are more expensive. Okay, great point. Seems like then we ought to charge not per structure a greater number. Maybe we should charge for the high rises more. Maybe condos should pay a higher rate. I'm all about the fairness based on the use and the demand, okay? Somebody else says bigger homes do take more resources to fight the fire. Okay, could be. I can see that. You know, it takes 3 trucks to fight a fire in a 4,000-square-foot home as opposed to 1 to fight a 2. I don't think it winds up being that way, though, in real life. But okay, fair enough. But we also know that the expensive homes don't have as many fire calls, and the poor homes do have more fire calls. You know, the trailer is more at risk of a fire than the mansion. Even though the mansion takes more trucks, if it does catch fire, the trailer is more likely to catch fire. But these are all conversations worth having. Back to the issue I wanted to bring up, which is there seems to be this sort of bickery back and forth between Stephen Barry and Ashley Hoffberger over, I don't know, a variety of things, dealing with funding, renourishment, fire, who's asking for how much money to be spent on which things. And I wanted you to realize that going into the May 1st meeting, that there's some backdrop, seems to me like animosity. And one of the issues was Ashley Hoffberger has made a campaign issue out of the $13 an hour firemen are paid to start wanting, and it's supposed to go up to 16, or at least it's on the table to go up to 16, and they so far has not said yes. Stephen Barry seemed to get irritated that she would bring up the $13 an hour. And I understand it's a low number, but also firemen get paid for, you know, working 24 hours, right? So it's a different way fire pay gets calculated. Anyway, that's the kind of the context here.
And I understand the point of, you know, you're advocating and negotiating. So it sounds very good to say, you know, $13 an hour or, you know, what have you. But the truth is you've got a young person that can come that, you know, gets hired on after, you know, 6 months of training or whatever the, you know, it's not an extended period of time. But, you know, you can basically be 18 months out of high school and have finished your first year. And if you just work the stated hours in your collective bargaining agreement, you're going to make $43,000. That's in our economy in Escambia County, that's a very good wage. I know I didn't make that my first year out of college. I didn't make that for several years out of college. And you know, that first year making $43,000, it's not, I don't think that's just to be dismissed. And you know, but it makes for good. It makes for good social media posts. It makes for good purposes of negotiation to say $13 an hour. But you know.
So he's kind of objecting to that. Ashley Hoffberger had brought that up. It's been a talking point. And, of course, firefighters do get paid more than the regular number of hours because they work a lot of hours. It's, you know, because they're on the job for a long period of time. Even if they're sleeping, they're on the job, right? That's one of the issues. But then it kind of got into this, who's his constituents? Who's my people? Who's, I don't know, here, you listen.
You know, something that's been mentioned in emails that we've received, as well as stated from the podium and from the dais, is, you know, equal treatment. You know, fair is not equal. You know, fair is fair and equal is equal. Services that are received on the beach are not equal to the services that are received on the mainland. I don't have the level of service that that Pensacola Beach has, and my constituents shouldn't pay the same rates that Pensacola Beach does.
So that's the response to the Pensacola Beach advocates and people like Rhonda Dorfman saying, well, you know, you all get premier service on the beach. You ought to have to pay more. You know, my people don't get the service that you get, and so that's why we charge you more. Interesting. Not sure that's the most elegant presentation of that idea, but then there was some conversation about the issue of how the fire service works in terms of hours. This is Mike Kohler.
I don't like the 48 hours on and 96 hours off, because when you look at the math, the firefighters work 111 days total year on that schedule, and then they get the time and a half either on the front or the back end. I would rather just give them a fair wage, because when you look at it, it doesn't meet public safety. And I know this is the way firefighters do it across the country, but maybe we should look at it differently and do it right so it's really public safety.
Yeah, and so I agree there's a concern there about the way the time is structured, especially because when you've been on the job a long time.
It's hard to stay up just 24 hours straight. Let's just be honest. I mean, y'all want to try it. I don't. And I know none of us can do 48 hours straight, so we're paying people to sleep. You know, and as he said, and that's okay. I mean, we want them ready to go, but we got to call it. Is that public safety? Is that the best person if someone's up at 36 hours to come in and push on my chest? I don't think so. I don't think so. So I think we got to have that discussion, and just public safety being executed in the right way.
That's a fair question. Again, his background is in the medical as a nurse, you know, very aware of what fatigue does to people's judgment and their capability to respond, and you know, what is the right way to structure these hours? It's a challenge for police. It's a challenge for EMS. It's a challenge certainly for fire, because it's nothing, massive activity. And then sometimes it's nothing, massive activity, massive activity, massive activity. You know, like it's just a very difficult thing to schedule people for properly and to use human resources effectively. Steven Stroberger, Commissioner District 1.
I agree. I can't disagree with anything I've heard up here. I hate to think that our firefighters have to work overtime to get a decent wage, right? Yeah, and yeah, they're sleeping. Doggone right they're sleeping. They better be well rested before they go out to fire.
I mean, yeah, but maybe that's a byproduct of the way we do the scheduling for them. Anyway, all of that is more just, I wanted to get to this point because I wanted you to understand that there's really going to be this fight on Thursday over charging the beach the same. Ashley Hoffberger, who represents the beach, and Stephen Bear, who represents the North End. And as you heard, the Pensacola Beach Advocates are going to show up with their people, and we're going to try to decide how much to raise the MSBU, what's the right amount for the MSBU, should the office spaces be charged so much more than, you know, per square foot than they're being charged right now. All of this is going to be on the table, okay, to talk about on Thursday. And expect there to be just a little bit of tension, if not overtly, back underneath the table. This is what they talked about the last time this came up. Again, Stephen Berry and Ashley Hoffberger.
What was passed out earlier is a combined MSBU that puts the entire county on the same pay schedule. So that would be $223 for every residential property and 11 cents per square foot for every commercial property. And that would give us the exact same amount that the other two proposals give us without raising and putting an undue burden on the beach businesses by increasing their MSBU over 1,100%.
So, Commissioner, so we've had quite a bit of, you know, you've had an elected representative from District 4 the, you know, the entire time that Commissioner May and I have served. So, you know, over the years we've had a number of beach discussions and you know, as a per capita, the beach residents, I mean, the beach, and I believe, Mr. Chairman, what she was referencing was LOST per, you know, per acre on the island does produce more than, it doesn't produce the majority of the LOST in the county. It does produce higher than per capita, what you would expect from that number of residents.
30 to 40%.
But we're also about to spend 30-something million dollars renourishing the beach. So to be clear, it's not a, it's in, you know, in addition to the, I don't know, $11, $12 million advertising for it to produce that bed tax. But,
which know, I think is fair considering they generated $65 million in local taxes in 2024.
$35 million for beach renourishment is a tough pitch for one representative to come to a majority, to a board that has five representatives. You have to get a majority
vote. Half of that's a match from the state.
I understand.
Okay.
That's a lot of benefit.
And 20% of it's from SRA.
That's a lot of benefit being brought to residents and businesses that are on the island. That is unprecedented as a beach renourishment number. So congratulations for that. It's an unprecedented number.
Wow. Jeez, he's so irritated. $36 million beach renourishment. The county's not paying for that. I mean, RIA is bringing 10 to the table. They got three from the county. They're using that to leverage 13 from the state. TDC's kicked in two, plus two from the state to match that. And then TDC has been asking another five total. The county's putting in three? Why are you talking about $6 million in an unprecedented act for beach renourishment when the county is only responsible for three? Everything else is coming from specified funds or the state. And those specified funds are coming from bed tax collection, which takes place on the island, TDT. And then to kind of side whine about the promotion and advertising, that's Visit Pensacola, that's beach money funds that. It's a weird place to get pissy, in my opinion. And so, you know, kind of these aren't my people and you guys get premier services and you're coming here as the, you know, he's always reminding her, like, you're the new person on this board, you know, and I know you haven't been here for all these conversations. We've been here for all these conversations for all these years, you know, and just in case you weren't aware of the backdrop. And I'm just preparing you that tomorrow night when they have this conversation, it may be entertaining. It may be interesting. And the core issue, the one that really matters is, what's the right way to fund fire service? What's the, you know, fair amount per home, fair amount per square foot for businesses? What kind of funding should, if any, come out of general revenue? Should it all be self-funded through the MSBU? And is there going to be built in a way for that to increase over time as inflation, wage inflation, all that stuff goes up? But like I said, that'll be Thursday at the county commission meeting. And as I say, it should be at least interesting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Well, no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays either, so good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.com.
Know what to throw, 850.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2. Right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you know what this is?
I know what this is. This is an espresso machine. No. It's a snow cone maker. That's what it is. Is it a water heater?
All right, quick movie knowledge question for you, John. What is Arnold looking at in that moment?
Man, I am trying to remember. That's what I was just trying to think about.
Nuclear warhead. He's looking at the nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
Is it a snow cone machine? 828 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney's Liberal Party won the Canadian election over Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre in Monday's election, which was heavily influenced by President Trump's tariffs and comments about making Canada the 51st state. University of Southern basketball recruit Elijah Arenas is being discharged from the hospital soon, an announcement made yesterday on a podcast hosted by his father, former NBA star Gilbert Arenas. The younger Arenas was involved in a Cybertruck crash last week in L.A. He had to be put in a medically induced coma after that accident. And, Andrew, this strikes me as something you might be excited about.
Could be horrible. Go on.
Hollywood is making another Miami Vice movie.
Oh.
This time, filmmaker and screenwriter Dan Gilroy adapting the hit TV series that followed Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas as undercover cops. It's the second go for a Miami Vice movie. 2006, there was a version starring Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell.
Will it be set in the 45 years ago Miami scene, or will it be set in today Miami?
Well, it doesn't say. If they're staying true to the intellectual property.
And linen jackets or no? That's the question. You know, we've had another Miami Vice ripoff, follow-up. Bad Boys. Right? I mean, isn't Bad Boys essentially Miami Vice? Pretty similar, right?
Same thing, yeah.
Pretty
same
similar.
Concept, yeah.
Okay, just saying. Absolutely. You know, it's an alternative. They didn't call it Miami Vice, but it's not that different, so. All right, 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, man, what else do we have going on? Gosh, so many things. We have been giving away tickets. I'm not giving away right now, but I'm just letting you know. The Trail to Oregon, Pensacola Little Theater performance, 2nd through the 11th. You can go see that. Should be a lot of fun. And be listening, because we'll be giving away tickets occasionally to that.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's the 100th day back in office for President Trump. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt this morning.
Today officially marks 100 days of promises made and promises kept by President Trump. This has truly been the most historic start to a presidency in American history.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer calls it 100 days of hell and says Democrats will hold the Senate floor for speeches tonight.
We will expose his broken promises. We'll expose his lies. We'll expose the ways he is threatening democracy.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, after winning re-election yesterday, calls Trump tariffs and the end of an era for global trade a tragedy.
We are over. We are over the shock of the American betrayal. But we should never forget the lessons.
President Trump is announcing today some tariff relief on imports for American automakers and holds a rally in Warren, Michigan. America's listening to Fox News.
.8 31 at News Radio 92.3. Sunny, 74 degrees right now. We'll get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a couple of minutes. A former Escambia County substitute teacher filing a lawsuit against the school district claiming discrimination based on gender identity. Haynes Cypress McLeish, a transgender non-binary individual, is alleging that they faced discriminatory treatment and were ultimately terminated due to their use of the title mix and preferred pronouns. The lawsuit naming several school district officials, including the superintendent and several board members. McLeish is seeking damages, reinstatement, and a declaration that the district violated the Civil Rights Act, the school district declining comment based on ongoing litigation. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday was in Northwest Florida making a big announcement about the Gulf Red Snapper season. Now, last year's, he said, was record-breaking at 103 days, but this year...
I'm excited to say we're going to do even better. I am pleased to announce that for 2025, the Gulf Red Snapper recreational season will last a total, and this is record-breaking, of 126 days. Then that shatters the records.
And this year's season begins Memorial Day weekend, opens back up in June and July, and includes several three-day weekends and holiday weekends later in the summer and in the fall. The governor also asking lawmakers to approve a budget, including the tax holiday that would save money on fishing and boating supplies. Well, the deadline for air travelers to get their real ID now just over 1 week away. But getting on an airplane's not the only reason you might need a real ID.
Once again, May 7th, real ID or passport. That's the only thing that we're going to be able to get you on board Naval Air Station Pensacola to check out some of the areas of public interest.
And that is NAS Pensacola PIO Bruce Commands. The ID requirement also extending to federal installations. So if you want to get on board the NAS to get to the Naval Aviation Museum, check out the Blue Angels practices, or check out the lighthouse, you'll need to have that real ID. Again, that deadline is May 7th. Well, video footage from a city park did capture the deadly crash between the ferry in Clearwater and a private boat Sunday night. Investigators reviewing that video to determine exactly what happened in the crash near the Memorial Causeway Bridge. Meanwhile, investigators did release the name of the victim that was killed. It was 41-year-old Jose Castro, Palm Harbor. 10 others were also hurt in that crash. Investigators say the operator of the boat that hit the ferry has been cooperative in the investigation. Former U.S. Representative David Jolly says he's planning to throw his hat back into the political arena. Jolly announcing yesterday he is now considering a run for Florida governor. He's registered as a Democrat. Jolly left the Republican Party in 2018. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
We are rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, and even 29 are also delay-free there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And news time 8:35, Brooke Richardson with our forecast.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 71. Keeping that nice, beautiful weather around on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 82. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. 20% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 82. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
76 right now in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton. And your money now this morning. Taking a look at our markets at the opening bell. The Dow is up 76 points at 4304 this morning. S&P down just about 20 points, though, at 5509.83. NASDAQ down 91 points, 17275. Taking a look at that 10-year bond rate, that is down slightly at 4.2% this morning. Gold prices are down 24 bucks at $32.2370. Silver price is up 36 cents, $33.37. And crypto is no huge changes, but a little bit mixed. Bitcoin up $8.33 at $94.810. Ethereum's up $14.90. Solana, Dogecoin, XRP all showing moderate small losses this morning. It's 8:36. New report from Realtor.com says affordable housing and home building is hard to come by in the U.S. The online real estate marketplace grading all 50 states on criteria including housing affordability and new construction. The five states with the highest grades were South Carolina, Iowa, Texas, Indiana, and North Carolina. They all got a B+ or better. The majority of states got C's from Realtor.com for affordable housing. Over a third of all Joann Fabrics stores are now closed. The company filed for bankruptcy in January, a second filing in 11 months. It's now been purchased by a retail liquidator. More than 250 locations are set to permanently close by the end of the month, 500 more by the end of next month. And about 55,000 county employees in California and Los Angeles County are now on strike. The workers, they're members of the Service Employees International Union, all walked off the job on Monday. That strike expected to last about 48 hours. 8:37, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh. Idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
What's the best cracker? That's what I want to know. I want to know what's the best cracker out there. 4-3-7-16. I don't mean like, you know, what's the best northern white guy. I
mean, my mind went there.
Well, Andrew, you're in the running. No, what's the best cracker? 4-3-7-16-20. Simple question. I don't know why you got to make it hard and weird. You got lots of options out there, right? Lots of options for cracker preferences. John, do you not? You both are looking at me like I'm crazy.
I'm thinking. There's so many choices.
You don't want to pick amongst your children. All right, I got you. 4-3-7-16-20. What's your best cracker? What's a favorite cracker? John, one cracker. You're on a desert island with a truckload of crackers. What cracker do you want to be stranded with?
The butter crackers.
Like the green box.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
the club crackers.
That's it. Love those.
Because it is a cracker, and also you can cook with it because it's got all that butter in it. You just like squeeze it out of there, basically. Wring it out with your hands. They're so good. They are so good. All right. So club crackers for John. Highly fragile.
Well, you club took crackers. Mine.
Oh, I am so sorry.
But club it's okay. I have a number two that's very close. I'll go with that one. Triskets.
Oh, I love it.
But just not ate some the Triscuits flavored, last night. Just the regular, the original Triscuits.
Yeah, with the Triscuits and salt.
Yes,
with the Triscuits, salt.
Yes.
Not no salt.
not
eat some cardboard.
Weird like flavors.
Yeah, you don't. Some of their different flavors are actually pretty good, actually. But the basic.
Yeah, I just like the plain.
There's something weird about eating an unfrosted mini wheat in the shape of a cracker, just with salt, though, because that's what it is, right?
No.
Put a Triscuit in your mouth and your brain. What's it taste like? What's the texture?
Yeah.
It's a mini wheat, right?
No.
4-3-7-16. No. And this comes from a fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just literally last night I had, how many Triscuits you eat at a time?
What do you mean?
Okay. Is box not the serving size?
I mean, are you saying one in your mouth at a time, five
no.
in your mouth at a time?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much. I mean, you know, you eat five, you eat 10, you eat 100, you eat till the box is empty. What's your limiting factor?
When I run
Don't
out of cheese.
Don't ask me these questions when I run out of cheese. Okay,
when I run
all
out
right.
of cheese.
Well, that's a separate question. What do you put on a cracker?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different day.
Let's
not mix days together.
Oh, all right.
Goodness. Yeah. Controlling. Right,
by
complicated.
The cheddar cheese with the port wine. Anyway, 4-3-7-16-20. I am a Ritz man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I figured you were.
I'm a big fan of the Ritz. Ritz is pretty, circular. It's got the little foo-foo-y kind of edges to it.
Mm-hmm. I figured you were.
I will say...
Well, I could just tell.
Well done. You landed on that one. Well done. I will say the Ritz has only two flaws. It is a perfect cracker, but for the sleeve was designed by somebody who hates people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it always rips wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't reseal easily.
Truth.
Okay. And the Ritz, when you try to dip it into something, will always disintegrate on you.
It's too crumbly.
It is too crumbly. That's
too crumbly.
Right.
It's, you can't
it's
put things on it.
It's a wonderful, beautiful, perfect cracker until you try to put something on it.
Correct.
You must hold it gently in your hand, apply the cheese and the sausage, and then eat it. You cannot dip it into anything or it'll fracture into 1,000 pieces like a Carell dish, right?
Therefore, it is disqualified from being the number one
Stop
cracker.
With your mean comments. That's hurtful. 8:43 on News Radio.
And
9.
You're so sensitive.
You keep your mean words off my Ritz crackers. That's not nice. 4-3-7-16-20. All right, let's check out some of these texts. Let's see what I made you snort.
I wasn't I heard me. It. No. It was John.
I heard
it was John.
Oh, it was John?
Yes, it wasn't me.
I don't think I've ever heard John snort
he was
before.
My head just came out.
I love it. All right. Let's see. 4-3-7-16-20. Our favorite former Gulf Power executive John Hutchinson says Ritz. Thank you, sir. Because then you can sing the song I'm putting on the Ritz.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, I don't know, Uncle. Uncle is the entry? Is there a name of a cracker named Uncle?
Maybe they're
there's
just giving up on...
Maybe they just want us to
named,
stop.
Now giving, there's a country artist named Uncle stop. Cracker.
They're giving up on the topic.
Old London cheddar cheese crackers, are they still made?
Oh.
I'm out. I got nothing.
Yeah, no.
I got nothing. Okay. Although that does make me think of... Does Goldfish qualify?
They're crackers, yeah.
They're not a non-cracker.
They're crackers more than a cookie.
Yeah, it's a Cheez-It in a different shape, right?
Kind of.
Without the burnt element.
Yeah, kind of.
Cheez-It or Goldfish, if you had to pick one or the other.
Oh, Cheez-It.
Yeah, Cheez-Its are the bomb. Cheez-Its are the best. Mm-hmm. Plus Goldfish, they come in that weird package, and then the Pepperidge Farm, and an odd size. You can't fit your hand in there. Like,
you're just worried about the packaging. The Ritz, the... Well,
packaging is a big part of the access issue.
Just dump them in a Ziploc bag, bro.
Then they go stale. So, in a Ziploc bag. A Ziploc bag does not keep things sealed properly. Well, a Ziploc bag is a very perforated surface. If you
I'm
really...
going to have to teach you the correct way.
437-1620.
I'm staying out of this.
Toasted by Keebler.
Yeah, those are good.
Is it? Well, I don't know this one. I feel like I'm missing something.
You need to go back to the cracker aisle.
Oh, well, I mean, duh. That's where I belong. Somebody else says Ritz. Somebody says Cracker Jacks. Well, that's not an...
Cracker Jacks.
I suppose it's technically a cracker in
Someone
name
who's
only.
Had their coffee this morning.
It's a Chino. It's a cracker in name only.
I thought
right?
that was very clever.
But it is nice. I like your thinking outside the box.
Oh, Boing. My God.
John Pickens is traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly, along with 98 and 90 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If I say Cracker Jack, you immediately think of temporary tattoos. Yes?
No. I think of prizes.
But the prize was often a temporary tattoo that came inside that you...
Well, no, but I don't like the temporary tattoos. I like the like little toys and stuff.
Okay, we're speaking past each other at this point. It's okay. 437-1620, what's your favorite cracker? That's our frivolous topic of the day. Speaking of plumbing and air conditioning, if you...
What? Oh, you're tying it
into... name it and claim it segues, right? If you just pretend it's true, right? Yeah. So speaking of plumbing and air conditioning, heating, electrical, Peden, they will take care of you for all of these things anywhere along the Gulf Coast for the last 55 years. Complicated stuff inside your home, they take care of it. Good quality products, installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee, whether you're in Panama City or Tallahassee or Fort Walton or, you know, Pensacola or Baldwin or Mobile, anywhere along the Gulf Coast, they will take care of you. In fact, this month, during the month of April, so that means you've got 2 days left to take advantage of this. If you cough and hack and sneeze and wheeze inside your home, that's dander, that's pollen, that's dust, that's all kinds of allergens. You can fix that with an indoor air quality system. And right now, for the next 2 days, you have $250 off any indoor air quality system from Peden. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com. Okay, back to whatever it is we were talking about before. 437-1620. Chicken in a biscuit. Is this one you guys know?
Yes, I love that.
Maybe it's a southern thing. I don't recognize
chicken
that one.
Chicken in a biscuit.
Sounds great.
Oh, they're
again,
so good.
Go stand in front of the cracker aisle. Again.
Okay,
they're
all
great.
Right. And
do you want
them
to take
all?
Pictures? I'll provide you with pictures.
That'll just make me feel hungry. Like this is doing. Ritz cracker is very versatile. Somebody says, okay, this is just a thank you for covering the beach conversation in MSBU. You're welcome. Oh, we haven't had this one yet. Personal favorite of mine. Reminds me of my mother. Wheat Thins.
Yes.
Love Wheat. Wheat Thins is small, though.
I like Wheat Thins,
They're kind
though.
Of a they're a miniature cracker.
They're light.
Yeah.
I like the...
You feel like, you know, you can eat 30 of them and be like, ah, bring it
is
on.
Is the packing okay for you?
Is it what?
Is the packing okay for you? I mean, you just open it and it goes everywhere?
The packaging is fantastic.
I'm just wondering. I just want to verify.
I will say this. What Wheat Thins have is strength. They are very firm.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
You could probably dip concrete with a Wheat Thin, you know, like shovel dirt, you know, with a Wheat Thin. They're very, very durable. And that makes them great for dipping in, like, the cheese spreads and stuff like that.
And I'm not sure why, but I always seem to buy a box of Wheat Thins with a box of Triscuits.
Oh, but you don't mix them together.
No, but they're right next to each other.
Yeah, I agree.
Isn't that weird?
They're kind of, and people who like one like both, and
yes.
People who don't like one don't like both?
Correct.
Yeah, no, I don't know why that is, but it's true. Let's see, the Wheat Thin, especially if there's a cheese ball involved. Yes, exactly right. Thank you, my people. Ritz falls apart when applying cream cheese, butter, pepperoni, air. Yeah, no, that's true. Cheez-Its for sure, except no substitute. Can we all agree that cheese nips should be illegal? Have you ever had cheese nips?
Cheese nips
is like the generic alternative, although it's a brand for Cheez-Its. I think cheese nips is for people who had like genetically defective taste buds, but they want to eat a Cheez-It. Because Cheez-Its are fantastic. Cheese nip is like, why would you do this to me? It's like I went to eat a ruffle and you gave me a lay. Why? Whoa. Why? I mean, you've just ruined life for me. Where'd we go on this? Let's see. Is a biscuit a cookie or a cracker? We're not doing philosophy today.
Oh, goodness. That's
We're just
deep.
Not doing philosophy. Deep. Not in this particular segment. Captain Wafers. Oh, yeah, those are good. Regular saltine crackers. Okay.
Yeah.
I see you. You can only eat about three of them, though. At which point you become completely dehydrated.
And I don't know
Unless
why, but I love them in tomato soup.
Okay. All right. Do you do little oyster crackers or do you do the broken up? Do you break your crackers or dip them?
The only time I use oyster crackers was with, like, clam chowder.
But, I mean, for the bigger saltines, do you dip them or you break them?
I put them in.
Whole?
I guess I, well.
You make a soggy piece of bread inside your soup?
That's getting complicated.
I haven't had enough coffee this morning, Andrew.
Meg simultaneously whinges about how we ask her too many complicated things, but then she's really grateful that we speed up her brain to do pep talk. So
that's so true. Just imagine if I didn't go through this, what pep talk would be like.
Somebody says Ritz are perfect for chilies and soup. They are to put into something, not to dip out stuff. Someone says the best cracker is the one in my hand. I like that answer.
Oh, yeah.
Crunchmaster. Crunchmaster, is that a brand?
Yeah, I
don't know that one. All right.
I thought that was a piece of physical exercise equipment.
Okay, yeah, all right. There's the Thighmaster, the Crunchmaster,
right.
The Elbowmaster. I don't think that one exists. Let's see. I use Wheat Thins to scrape the rust off my trailer. You could. Yeah, no, you definitely could. My husband loves Wheat Thins. I love Triscuits, and we have a mixed loyalty family. Okay, they could make, like, those flags that have, you know, dual loyalty family, like Florida, Florida State, Alabama, Auburn. You know, they could do one for Wheat Thins and Triscuits.
I can see you doing that.
Melba toast. Okay,
oh,
Australian.
No.
4-3-7-16-20. Ruffles chips is what every cracker wants to be, but you had to accept a substitute. No, I don't think that's true. But you might be onto something.
Pensacola Little Theater is proud to present Trail to Oregon, May 2nd to 11th, a lively and humorous musical that follows the misadventures of a quirky pioneer family as they journey westward along the Oregon Trail in the 19th century. Led by the bumbling but well-meaning father, the family encounters a series of obstacles and colorful characters along the way, including bandits, buffalo stampedes, and the dreaded dysentery. Secure your tickets for this show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office. This show contains mature themes and language.
We Care Home Hotline, you're on with Woody.
Hey, Woody, have you ever heard an air conditioner this loud?
No, but the good news is We Care has more than 10 years in business and thousands of positive reviews, so our HVAC, plumbing, and electrical teams can get it fixed and fast.
Thanks, Woody.
No one cares like We Care. Schedule online at WeCareHeatAndAir.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
By Menon.
John, we are a day late on this story. I meant to talk about it yesterday, but, you know, just things got away from me, and that does sometimes happen on this show. Well, Andrew, you have 4 hours. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm aware. So is the question of this prank call to Shedeur Sanders. Wait, is that how you say it, Shedeur?
Yes.
Okay. Which is Deion Sanders' son, right?
Correct.
And he played at Colorado State or Colorado?
No, Colorado.
Colorado. Okay. Anyway, so, and the kid was good. He was expected to go in the first round, but maybe.
Well, high draft pick in the first round. Yeah,
as a quarterback. And he's got another kid, too. Also
Shiloh.
In the draft, right?
Yes.
Okay. And he wound up going in the fifth round?
Yes.
Okay. But the story around him was not his draft position. The story around him was the prank call. That one of the kids of which team was it?
Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons. One of the kids of the Falcons seeing all of this.
The coach's kid.
Coach's kid. Okay. I thought it was a player's kid.
That was Coach.
Oh, okay. Well, you know better than I do. Thank you. Called him and did what?
Pranked him.
Pretended to be during the draft to be a team.
He pretended to be Mickey Loomis for the GM of the New Orleans Saints, and he thought he was going to New Orleans, and
that turned out not to be the case.
Yeah, that wasn't the case.
Okay. So can I tell you that, and he has since apologized, and the Saints have apologized, and the Falcons have apologized, and everybody's apologized, and anybody who could be involved in this has apologized. Can I tell you my reaction? I laughed.
Well, I did too. But
I thought it was
funny.
I didn't
want to say. I mean, I was like, ooh, I wish I could have came up with that. And
I thought it
was
a good prank. And here's the thing. Sports is fun. And if you've never been involved in sports, maybe you don't realize, but teammates play pranks, play jokes. I want to be on the baseball team where people are pranking each other. I want to be on the football team. I mean, I would never play football, but I would, be on the football team, the volleyball team. Okay, I play volleyball. That makes it fun. I don't have a problem. Am I missing something, John?
No, I'm not. Meg seems
Meg is, you're worked up okay. about this.
Yes,
it's
I
so
am.
Wrong. Why
because
so? Actually, hang on just a second.
Okay.
John Pickens has traffic on the files. We'll come back to Meg in a second. She's very worked up about this. John?
Yes, no accidents to report or delays. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the files. Let's get back to Meg.
All right.
I'll make it quick. There's a time and place for everything. On that day, it's the most important day in these young men's lives. And to prank somebody like that is absolutely cruel.
I mean, I
it's
thought
nothing,
it was funny.
Nothing funny about
and
it.
And I think that's exactly why it's funny. Is because it wouldn't work any other day.
This is the most important thing in this young man's life.
It is.
And to have some kid call up and make fun of that, I think is absolutely, I think there should be a penalty of some kind. I think there should be repercussions. I think it was a terrible thing to do. I'm not a fan of his particularly.
Are you a fan of pranks?
Yes.
Really?
When it's appropriate. I'm known for that.
Okay.
But it's got to be the right time and place.
All right. 437-1620. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to imagine if you were interviewing for a job and someone pranked you and said you got it. And you didn't.
What's happening, boy?
What'd you say, John?
Nothing. Nothing, sir. Nothing.
Mike is here with me. Am I wrong, Mike?
Oh, he doesn't want to be dragged into this. Mayor Mike. Okay, Mayor Mike. Go on. Chime in. I'm interested.
No, that was wrong.
Why?
That was wrong.
On so many levels.
Meg is right. The draft is huge. You've got all your family, all your children. Everybody's lined up on the sofa waiting for the phone call.
It's going to change your
and
life.
Somebody calls you and tells a lie. So you start celebrating. It's just wrong. No, I'm not against
it. It's cruel.
Right. I'm against that one.
Well, here we go. 437-1620. What made the prank against Sanders so good is that he's so arrogant and self-centered that he thought he was untouchable.
Yes.
Somebody says, sorry, Andrew, I agree with her. Somebody says, I agree with Meg 100%. This was a job offer, not a sports prank. Somebody else says, new frivolous topic. Yeah, we've done two in a segment now. Somebody says, unless everyone laughs at the prank, it's not funny. Okay, so that would be a question. I would be curious if he was laughing at it now. That'd be a question. Because remember, jokes are like if the people appreciate it and enjoy it. So I'd be willing to be persuaded on that. If the person, did the guy who called him know him?
No, not at all.
No.
It's a complete random thing.
Yes.
Okay, that affects my opinion.
The coach actually had a iPad that was open and unlocked.
And that's where he got it. It was bad security, right? I saw that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point, is that a prank or a joke is supposed to be including somebody, right? And if it doesn't include or affirm, it's like, attacking people that you disagree with and don't like. Then it becomes mean. So I'm willing to listen to that. Somebody says it's done in poor taste. Somebody says it was mean. Somebody says it's very cruel. 437-1620. Somebody says, Mike writes, pranks are good, but when he wasn't even pranked by a teammate, he was pranked by a coach's son who happens to have his phone number. Okay. All right. I'll see it that way. You persuaded me. I'll be wrong.
I mean, that's very different from having a prank in a locker room from your own teammate.
Let me run the example a little bit different way. What if it had been Shedeur Sanders, a buddy or a buddy of his buddy or somebody like, what if it had been a friend of his who did it? Would that change your opinion?
No. It's still too important.
Oh, see,
It's the most important day of his life.
I'd still allow it. Because if it's your buddy, if it's a buddy.
On the most important day of your life?
If it's a buddy, yeah. Mm. I mean, so I'm with you. I've changed my mind. I'm with you from a total stranger. But if it's a friend or a teammate, I actually think that it was okay. But, that's all right. That's why we have the conversation. 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody, sportscasters, said that prank calls often happen during NFL drafts.
And they do.
Okay, yeah, so you have to be aware.
Yeah.
Okay. There is the arrogance question. You know, can you laugh at yourself? I do see the pain issue, though, of course. Somebody says, considering where he got drafted compared to where he thought he was probably still not laughing about it. fair enough. And that's why I like having a conversation, because I don't mind people disagreeing, as you know, right, Meg and Mike? What's that?
It's kind of like someone saying, you won the Oscar, and you go up on stage, oops, sorry, just a joke.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters.